Tried to pick some songs this morning because I know so many in our church family is going through a lot in this life. We just feel like this last year has been a little rough for a lot of folks, but I hope these songs can be encouraging for you this morning as we worship the Lord. He's such a gracious God. Let's stand together this morning. Let's sing one of my wife's favorite worship songs. Whom shall I fear? Hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though trouble lingers still. Whom shall I fear? Sorry, I'm having a problem up here. Here we go. All right, got it. Maybe. Here we go. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of Israel army is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of Israel army is always by my side. Amen. My strength is in your name. Sing it with me. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? And whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Nothing formed against, and nothing formed against me shall stand. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of singing that song, I can't help but think of all the Old Testament stories where the Lord was with them in battle, went before them, you know, smote the enemy. God is so powerful, and he's with us if we're living for him. Amen. I love this song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
How deep the Father's love for us. How
beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretched treasure. Thank you, Lord. How great the pain, how great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as words which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Amen. He has brought us to glory. Behold the man upon a cross. No power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. Have paid my ransom. Amen. That ransom's been paid. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of sin. Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Amen. You may be seated this morning.
All right. Hey, this is Thanksgiving week. My family is... We're all into Thanksgiving. We do it like 3 or 4 times. We've already had one. We have another couple before it's over with. So I want to preach a message on having to do with Thanksgiving. And I'm entitling it Thanks Living. You know, just play on words there. But at the same time, I think it captures what I think is important about Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving. Before I do that, though, I need to ask you, why did the turkey cross the road? Anyone knows? Chicken had the day off. And that's really what Thanksgiving is about. It's the day chicken has a day off, because it's all about the turkey. Well, there's a lot of history in Thanksgiving in our country, history with turkeys. I think Abraham Lincoln was like the first president who pardoned a turkey, and then there was this scattered places and people who did that in other states and stuff, and eventually Truman, I think, is the one that is supposedly the first, but his biographers claim, no, he really didn't. So at least the last 7 or 8 presidents, though, have all been pardoning those beautiful white turkeys sent to them by some grower up there close to Washington, D.C. But Thanksgiving itself has a very rich history in our country as well. It goes way back to, as you are aware, the early days of the Pilgrims. And the governor of Massachusetts, name was, I think it was William Bradford. I know the last name was Bradford. And he made the first Thanksgiving proclamation 3 years after the Pilgrims settled at Plymouth. When I read this proclamation to you, you're going to recognize in a hurry that this was said about the same time that the King James Bible was being written, as the language is similar. Here's what Governor Bradford said: "Inasmuch as the Great Father hath given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, in the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings." They had to listen to that man for 3 hours. Y'all don't complain whenever I go a few minutes over 12. All right? William Bradford, ye governor of ye colony. That's what it says. Sometime later, quite a bit later actually, George Washington would declare a Thanksgiving Day. Actually, he declared multiple Thanksgivings. He didn't make it an every year thing, but on more than one occasion, he declared a Thanksgiving. Most of the time in the early days, Thanksgiving were called for special occasions. After him, John Adams would declare a Thanksgiving. James Madison would as well. But then they hit a string of presidents who didn't believe in calling for a Thanksgiving, such as Jefferson, who claimed it was a kingly act and we should not do such. There was a lady named Sarah Hale, who was the author of Mary Had a Little Lamb, who petitioned congressmen and presidents alike for 40 years to restore the practice of national Thanksgiving. It wasn't until Lincoln was contacted and he listened to her and what she said. And in 1863, he decreed that the North and the South should lay aside enmity and strife on Thanksgiving Day, which he said was the fourth Thursday in November. And so from that time forward, it was loosely practiced, until finally, in 1941, our Congress made it an official holiday. So Thanksgiving has a rich history in our country, and we do have a lot to be thankful for as a country, certainly as Christians as well. First outline that popped in my preacher's brain was the three F's of Thanksgiving: family, food, and football. I just could not find a passage to corroborate my outline, so I had to pass on that one. Although I enjoyed all three of those yesterday there at Dan's sister Mattia's house in Victoria. Many years ago, though, I heard this title that I've given to you today for this Thanksgiving message, which is Thanksgiving. The title that day was Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving. I just shortened it to Thanksgiving. And I want us to consider what it means to practice Thanksgiving. We have, as I said, much to be thankful for. Brother George is always good to ask me, "Hey, what are you preaching on, brother?" And today I just had to tell him too many verses, what I call a buckshot sermon. You're just shooting, it scatters everywhere throughout the Bible. A lot of verses I want to share with you, so either write fast or listen to the tape later if you want all the verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is probably the most popular Thanksgiving verse that more Thanksgiving sermons probably have been used as the text for that sermon than any other. It's a great verse. And it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So in everything give thanks. So when we think about thanksgiving, the premise is that we need to be living thankfully. We need to be in everything giving thanks. Another verse that I like that is similar is in the Old Testament of Psalms 92, verses 1 and 2. The title on that psalm says a psalm for Sabbath day. A psalm for to sing when you go to church, basically, is what that psalm was written for. And it starts off with these two verses. It says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Thanksgiving and thanksgiving. It's about a mindset. It's about a willful decision to look at life through eyes that are thankful. Now let's be honest. If we want to, we can be so enamored by the cares of this life and by the troubles of our age that we can completely forget to be thankful for the good things that we have. If you spend your time and you ponder all that is negative and all that is not going the way that is your worldview, you'd be a pretty bitter and negative person if you pondered that all the time. Because the world today does not line up very well with, well, most of my belief system, most of my desires, most of what I would like to see take place among humanity is not what's going on. And so I can dwell on that and ponder on that and can just be as low and as depressed as I want to be if I want to just continually mope over the ills of the age. In all reality, there's never been a time on this earth when things weren't just pitiful. That's just in the nature of mankind. We're wicked. And we just find new and easier and more loud ways to be wicked today, it seems. But we're just wicked desperately. But God has intervened. God has came on the scene. God has given us a reason to be thankful. He's given us a salvation that that transforms everything about us, as we learned in Sunday school this morning. We have a lot to be thankful for. It's a good thing, the Scripture says, to give thanks unto the Lord. You spend your time giving thanks. You're going to be a kind of person that makes a difference in people's lives. You can look in your life and you can think back to people that you like being around, and those are usually the people that have good attitudes, good spirits about them, smiles on their face, encouragers, people that make you feel good about yourself. I don't know many folks that likes being around miserable people. I don't know many folks that likes being around people that are you know, just worrywarts and complainers and, gossipers and that sort of thing. Those are not the kind of people that we're attracted to, hopefully. We want to be around people that are upbeat, people that are positive about God and about life, that believes and has hope that things can be better. I want to live a life as God wants me to live my life, and I want it to be victorious as He says He wants it to be. He wants it to be abundant, and that's what we should be striving for, is to find that abundant life in Christ Jesus. And I have to wire my brain to be thankful and to focus on things that are pure and holy and good and dwell on those things and sing with melody in my heart over those things. I have to make a decision to live godly in that way, or I will be drugged down by the cares and the worries of this world. He gives us parables that tells us that's exactly what will happen if we're not careful. The seed of our salvation, of our souls, will fall into ground that is rocky or thorny, and the cares of the world will overwhelm us. Boy, but when we are grounded upon that solid rock, when our mind and heart is stayed upon Him, He'll keep us in perfect peace. He will give us a reason for there to be joy in us, a reason for there to be hope within us, and a reason to share with others the hope that is within us as well. So it's a good thing, it says, to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto His name, O Most High, to show forth His loving kindness in the morning and His faithfulness every night. I want us to think about those two verses and what it implies that it means to live a life of thanksgiving, which is a permanent state of thanksgiving, realizing that we're truly blessed and letting that overcome our mind and therefore influence our actions. It is easy to live thankfully and to everything give thanks when things are positive, right? We know that. We know how it's natural and just flows whenever things are going our way to be thankful. But boy, we're challenged when we have difficulties to continue to have joy, to continue to have thanksgiving. But yet we are told to do so, right? We are told to give thanks in everything. We are told to rejoice in the Lord always. We're told to count it joy when we are persecuted. We're told to turn the other cheek. He doesn't ever leave us one-sided. He shows us the stark reality of life, that there are highs and lows. There's good and bad. But through it all, we serve a wonderful God that we should be thankful to continually. So what is thanksgiving? Let me just make it very practical. And I apologize for the simplicity of this sermon, but it truly is a simple topic. Thanksgiving is loving your neighbor as yourself. To be thankful in the way that you live should influence how you treat others, right? If you are truly thankful to the Father who gives to everyone without any bias or variableness, that He blesses us all and He wants everyone to be blessed, it should influence the way that I interact with everyone else. He wants for my life to be blessed, but He wants for my life also to be a blessing. And so thanksgiving should influence how that we treat other people. It should cause us to love our neighbors as ourselves. People who are truly thankful understand that we have an obligation to turn God's blessings that is in our life into blessings for others. And God has saved you and left you on planet Earth for a reason. And the reason is the people you're rubbing elbows with right now. The reason is this lost and dying world. He wants you to be here so that you can share His goodness with those in your home, those in your workplace, those in community, and those you just meet somewhere along the way. He wants us to love our neighbors as ourselves. I love that great verse in Galatians 6:7, by the way. I'm so close to it, I can't not mention it because it's my life verse. You know, everybody has their verse that just captivate them. That's Galatians 6:7 for me. It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." I love that verse. It has helped me through the years so much. It speaks to me words of encouragement and words of warning at the same time. But just a few verses later, in that same context, he says in verse 10, "As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men." And then it says, "Especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Especially of them who are of the household of faith. When we began this journey of trying to do mission projects, the vision that God gave me for that was to alternate between blessing someone in the community that may or may not be associated with our church, but then to make sure that we were working in blessing someone within our church as well. Where we have opportunity to help, let us do so. But pay particular attention to those who, hey, if the Aggies can hire only Aggies, then church people can look after church people, right? We need to look after each other. We're in this rat race together. We're in this difficult task of being Christ-like people together. Let us encourage one another in word and in deed and come alongside each other and help each other in whatever way is needed helped. Whether it be in home or in finances or in spiritual encouragement, in prayer, in sickness, let us help one another. As you have opportunity, do good. You need to seek opportunity sometimes. You know, you can't wait for somebody that says, "Hello, I'm opportunity. Would you please help me?" Sometimes that happens. I was in Walmart parking lot this week, and a guy come up and, you know, hand me a little thing that says, "Hey, I'm, you know, supporting this ministry," or whatever. Most of the time I don't go along with these things. But for whatever reason, God just impressed on my heart, this seems genuine, you know. He looked the part. He told a quick story about how that God had brought him to this ministry and how he had come out of, you know, all the stuff he was addicted to and stayed at this particular house that houses 100 people for free that are struggling with different things. And he was just out selling banana bread, trying to support the mission. I didn't see the banana bread, so I just gave him $5. I didn't know what the bread was. And my first, evil way of thinking is probably bread he just brought out of Walmart, you know, and just selling it. And hopefully he's not just making money to go, you know, buy something that I don't want to support. But then when he walked back by later, I saw he had a pan. Man, it was very well presented in 6 loaves. I almost asked him for one of those loaves that I paid for, but he was too far away. I thought about him and prayed for him some this week. As you have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. It says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." We are told very sternly, don't pay back someone for their pettiness towards you. You pay back harm with good. You pay back insults with kindness. You pay back bitterness with prayer. You pay back meanness with kindness. And it's not because you're trying to get on their nerves and make them, feel like that you're holier than those others, but because that's what God desires for you to do. God will do the rest. God's Holy Spirit will speak to them. The Bible says it'd be like coals of fire upon their head, what it really says. But that's not the motivation to do it. It's just the outcome of what will happen if you live godly and do things the way that He says. He will convict those who are living sinfully towards you. He will impress upon their hearts, hopefully, that what they're doing is not right. So what is thanksgiving? It's loving your neighbors. That is thanksgiving. Number two, it's continually giving thanks to God. Thanksgiving is a continual thing, as we read in that very first verse. So many songs capture the topic of being thankful. One of the songs that I think has few rivals in that theme is "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And it points out why we should always be thankful. It's a great song that's just deep and rich in truths. A couple stanzas from that great song, the refrain is, "Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Then this next part I chose because of the season changes that we're experiencing. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Wonderful song that points out just a few things there of how that we should be thankful. So much to be thankful for. Seeing God's goodness all around us should cause us to give thanks continually. That is thanksgiving. God is a good God, is He not? And He has provided and given us so much. There's a wonderful verse that I found Shelby's Bible over in the Sunday school building this morning. I was just kind of flipping through it and kind of nosing through my daughter's Bible and seeing the verses she had highlighted. I'm like, what's important to her? I like that verse. I like that verse. She has some good verses highlighted. But one verse has always been one that I really have thought a lot about, where it says that God provides for His own, that He would not have His righteous to be begging for bread. Our God's a good God. He provides for us. He cares for us. He will look after you. Don't fall short in giving God thanks for the day in and day out provisions that He gives to us. Take time, pause before you partake of your meals, even if it's just a few words, and tell God thank you. Not everybody has that food to eat like you do. And just give return thanks is how some people say, instead of giving grace or whatever term you want to use for blessing your food. But be thankful for His manifold blessings. Continually to give thanks. That is thanksgiving. The third thing it is communion with God. Each day, if we're truly thankful, it's going to influence how that I treat other people. It's going to come forth in my attitude toward God and how that I express toward Him thanks, but also in how that I spend time with Him. Your goal as a Christian is pretty simple. Not only is it to love other people and to do all those things, but it's also to fall deeper and farther in love with God. You will never get to the point to where you can stop falling in love with God. There's always more and more and more to know, more to experience, and the more you know, the sweeter He is. You will never stop growing in your faith as a child of God. You shouldn't. You should continually be in His Word. You should continually be in meditation over His Word. You should continually be in prayer. Friends, if you're not doing those things, then your spiritual life is stagnant. It's as simple as that. If you're not doing those things, you're not growing in your faith. That's just the honest truth. You have to put feet to your faith and get in God's Word and allow the Holy Spirit of God to use His Word to continue to change you into the image that He wants you to be. Get deep into it. Have communion with God. Someone once preached another sermon that I like that has the title for Thanksgiving, An Attitude of Gratitude. And I like that. And I think that's best expressed by our devotion to the things of God, especially getting to know Him better through His Word and through prayer. There's way too many verses to choose from that deals with that particular topic, but I chose a couple really good ones to consider. Romans 15:4. It says, "For whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope." The Scripture is God's tool to help you. It's God's tool to give you peace, to give you comfort, to give you hope, to give you thankfulness, to give you words to share with people who need words to be shared. The Scripture is our instructions. It's what God has given us to live by. Some have said it's the basic instructions before leaving earth. I think it's somebody says the acronym for the Bible. It's a lot more than just basic. It is God's desire for us, His word is. A verse that has to do with prayer in this context is 2 Peter 1:2. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the second verse that deals with knowledge. And then one on prayer actually is Colossians 4:2. It says, "Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving." Prayer and thanksgiving. Part of your prayer should be thanksgiving. When we think about our Father who art in heaven, and we hallow His name, we're thankful for what He has given to us, for His daily bread that He has given to us, for His provision and so forth. Prayer should have a major component of being thankful. So many times whenever I pray, it's laser focused. I know what I'm coming to God for, and I begin to pray. And a lot of times I find myself quickly being convicted as I begin to pray, because I realize that I haven't stopped and just talked to God and just told Him how wonderful He is. Now, I'm not saying that that's what you have to do every time. I'm just telling you how the Spirit works in my life sometimes when I feel like I'm being a little bit selfish in my prayer. And I'll stop and I'll pause on all these concerns and all these people that have cancer and all these terrible things that are going on in people's lives that I know. And just tell God how wonderful He is and how good that He is, and allow His Spirit to speak to my spirit. And then I'm in an attitude and ability then to pour out my heart to God on behalf of those that I've decided to pray for. Continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving. That is thanksgiving. There are so many others. I could not cover all the topic if I had those 3 hours that the Plymouth preacher had. A few others, though, just bullet points. I won't linger too much. Thanksgiving is also seeking to live a holy and pure life. A holy and pure life. Because thanksgiving is about living. And we know that God has called us to be holy and pure. Thanksgiving is about being faithful to the things of God. It's church. How are we faithful to church? Faithful in coming. Faithful in supporting the church. Faithful in participating with what the church is trying to accomplish and doing, whether it be in mission projects or shoe boxes or, you know, knocking on doors or, you know, visiting the widows and orphans or whatever it is that God has for us to do. Plug into that and be a part of it. There's a wrong mindset in the world today when it comes to churches. Some people have this wrong perception that church is about how can I be served? What does the church have to offer me? What does it have to offer my family? What does it have to offer my child? You say, well, what's wrong with that? The church is not about what can be offered to you. The church is about what can you do in the name of God through this fellowship. Plug yourself in and get involved in the life of the church, and you will find out that it will do a tremendous amount for you and your family. Nothing will cause your faith and your family to be as close to God as you serving God and being actively involved in God's church. Find a way to be involved. And that's our job as leaders, to help you find that calling, to help you find that thing that you're good at, that you want to be involved in, and to give you opportunity. And that's difficult sometimes for us to do. But that is our goal. We want everybody to use the talents that God has given them to serve Him in this corporate fellowship. Because God has ordained and blessed His church, and God has chosen to use this institution to put His name on it and to send out the gospel in His name that souls may be saved. And there's nothing wrong with an individual going out and sharing their faith. But most of the time when we go out as individuals, we're going out in the name of a church. We're going out in the name of a body of believers. Because what if that person asks you, well, where do you go to church? You want to be able to invite them. You want to be able to say, yes, I'm practicing my faith at so-and-so place. You'll have a lot better, I think, results if you're practicing what you're preaching to someone. And so plug yourself in to the ministry of your church. That's thanksgiving. And then telling others about Him. If He's truly as good as I'm trying to describe that He is, how can we help but not tell someone else? How can we help but not tell them? My favorite skit of all time. When I was in college, I probably told you all this story before, but I got involved in a drama group, which is so crazy because I would have never done anything like that in high school. You couldn't have paid me big money to get up in front of people and talk. I had no idea that I was going to go into the ministry. But here I was at ETBU. I'd preached a grand total of 2 sermons, and they were both horrible. And I'm walking across campus one day, and I see a bunch of people in this room over there, and they're acting all funny, you know, and dressed kind of funny even. I'm like, what in the world's going on? And this girl comes walking by, and she's going to go in. I said, hey. I said, what are y'all doing in there? She said, oh, it's a drama group. It's called Image was the name of it. I said, well, that's pretty neat. She said, well, you want to be a part? I said, well, sure. You know, impulsivity got me the better of me there. Because I'm not one to get up in front of people like that back then. Of course, now, that's what I do. But yeah, I joined this drama group. And we had all kind of crazy skits. But the one that really impressed me the most was one where we just simply acted out with no words, having a light being given to us. There was a Christian, and they had this wonderful light, and they were just so excited. And they found this other person. They brought him over and showed them that light. And that person then took that light and had it for themselves. And, oh, they were so blessed and, you know, made motions to show just how it had impressed them and how it was even changing them, brought them excitement, brought them joy. And then eventually, you know, the one person who really is sending the message to everybody else, he gets that light. You know, he's kind of like Gollum in the Lord of the Rings, you know. He's over there with that light, and he's just enamored by it. And he notices somebody else coming to him like, hey, what do you have there? And he just kind of turns the other way like, oh, I don't want to show you this light. This is, you know, this is my light. No words are said in this. It's just all acted out. And he's hiding that light so that they can't see it. He's not going to share it with them. And then when they finally make their way and they're gone, he goes down there to look at his light again, and where did it go? It's no longer there. Now, that's not saying that we can lose our salvation. But I tell you what, though, we can lose our blessings. We can lose the things that God would have us to do, the blessings He has in store for us. They can be given to somebody else. You have been given so much. It should influence every aspect of your being. It should be in the things that you do toward other people. It should be in your habits of going to church and of studying His Word and spending time in prayer. And it certainly should be in your conversation. Do your conversations match up with that light that you have? I sure hope they do. Because that light needs to be shared with people who are not in God's Word, who are not sitting in these seats today. And we're the ones to go forth and to share it with them as we live thankfully. Let's stand together and sing a verse of invitation.